Very good. Welcome everybody to another Enlightenment or Bust retreat. So we're not going to do any chanting this evening. You can, if you wish to do some chanting, you can do some your own chanting in your rooms later on. Because you've just come and many of you are a bit tired. So it does take a while for some of you who have only arrived today just to relax and get into the scheme of things here, to know the place and know the people, to know your cottage. I think you've already got some of the general, the admin housekeeping rules. One thing I want to announce is that we can start some interviews tomorrow morning for those of you who wish to. On Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon I'll be gone, and also Monday morning after the talk I have to go into town. So the interviews on Sunday afternoon and Monday morning will be cancelled. So I'm putting the two extra ones in at the beginning. So those of you who want interviews, please not about personal problems. Please not about your marriage. I have never been married. Please not about your business. I don't go to work. So just about things which I know about your meditation. So that's on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. And just where you registered there, you'll find on the lectern is a piece of paper where you can write your names for the interviews if you require them. So on this retreat, we're going to be here for 8 or 9 days. It's a nice, peaceful, simple retreat where the whole purpose of the meditation is learning how to make your mind still. So if you think stillness throughout this retreat, you get a much better idea of what meditation is. In fact, those of you who've been on my retreats before know that that is the best translation into English of the word samadhi, the eighth factor of the Eightfold Path. Right samadhi literally means right stillness. And I'm going to be giving you many little techniques and advice on how to allow the mind to be still. And I chose my words carefully. You allow the mind to be still by getting all of the problems and difficulties out of the way. Your job is to free the mind, not to control it. And the standard simile which I give is, how do you get a glass of water, a cup of water, to be perfectly still? Doesn't matter how long you hold it and how much you focus, how much you concentrate and train, no one can ever hold a cup of water perfectly still. If you're holding it, it will move. But if you want the water to be still, all you need to do is to put it down, let it go, and disengage. And then you find the water becomes still all by itself. That's its nature. Now that's my simile, Ajahn Chah's simile. He'd get his hand up and start waving it, but he wasn't saying goodbye. So you don't have to go back to Singapore, you've just arrived. By waving his hand like this, he said, this is a leaf on a tree. It only moves because of the wind. If the wind disappears, the leaf will return to its natural state. And the natural state of a leaf is to be perfectly still. And that's the simile Ajahn Chah used for meditation. He says, your mind is like that leaf. If you can just stop the wind of wanting, then your mind will move less and less until it becomes perfectly still, because the natural state of the mind is to be still. It only moves because of the wind of wanting something, even wanting good things, or wanting to get rid of bad things. That's all wanting. That makes the wind, which makes the mind move. Which is why the Buddha said that if you let go of all wanting and all craving, that leads to the stillness of Nibbana, the end of suffering. So our job here is actually to learn how to let your mind be still. So a lot of the training over here is, you know, being aware of what is going on in your body and mind, and finding out what all this wanting really is, letting it go, renouncing, restraining, letting things be, abandoning, open the door of your heart to whatever's happening so you're not controlling it. All of these words which are all saying, let go. Let it be, stop controlling things. And little by little you learn what those words really mean. You've all heard those words many, many, many times. And you think you can understand them. And sometimes people think they are creating, say, loving kindness. And that's why I like telling the story of the compassionate little boy who helped the old lady cross the road when she didn't want to cross. It's the thing, you think you're being kind, compassionate, but you're not. A lot of compassion and kindness is just letting things be. That's why this retreat is not just being mindful, but being kindful. Kindness plus mindfulness equals kindfulness. So for those of you who've done mindfulness retreats before, not enough. You need to change the M to a K to make it a kindfulness retreat. So be kind. And that is a wonderful way of stopping the winds of wanting so that your mind can become still all by itself without you doing anything to try and make it still. So number one, please be kind to your body. Which means that give it a time to relax. The first couple of days of a 9-day retreat should be a catching up on sleep time. And I say that because you'll be wasting so much time trying to get up early in the morning because you want to prove you're a tough guy. You're going to be the first one who gets up in the cottage. And just to help other people, you're going to bang on everyone's door. Wake up, it's 4 o'clock. You'll be very popular. So no, when you need to wake up. Be kind to your body for the first couple of days. There's something in psychology called sleep deficit, which means you do have to catch up because, and I've been to Singapore, I know the way you work, and you work too hard because you have to. Now I want you to unwind a little bit, to relax. Which does mean sleeping in. It means during the morning or the afternoon, if you feel a bit tired, go and take a nap. Which is why you have your own rooms and no one knows what you're doing in there. So you don't have to worry about peer pressure, what other people are saying and doing. So you can be comfortable. And I mention that because an old story of this woman who came to a retreat in Sydney many years ago. She was an executive, came very late, 11 o'clock, 11:30, I don't know because I was in bed at the time when she came, because she tried to tie up all the loose ends before she came to the retreat for 9 days. And the following morning she heard me talk, as I'm talking now, to catch up on your sleep. And she had enough respect and faith in my teaching. She followed what I said. After the talk, she went to bed. She got up for lunch. After lunch, she went to bed again. And she did that for the first 3 days. She got up for the meals. And after the meals, went to bed. And she didn't have her own room. She had like a dormitory with other women. And the other women got very upset at her. They weren't speaking, but she could tell they were very angry. You know, you're wasting your time sleeping all day when you should be meditating like us. Because they were proud. But she was wise. She told me after 2 or 3 days, you know, she kept caught up on her sleep, and her body felt really good. She was relaxed. She'd been kind to her body. And the next 3 days, she caught up with everybody else. So after 6 days, she was about up the same level. For the last 3 days, she took off and became the star meditator of that retreat. She did so much better than everybody else. And I often talk about her because she was wise. She learned how to work with her body. And the first 2 or 3 days of relaxation was an investment. If you don't do that, you'll find you'll be getting up in the morning because you think you have to. And your body will be tense, you'll be tired. You're not really meditating, you'll be falling asleep. And you'll be very dull. If you're not asleep, you know, you're not really aware very much. What's that telling you? It's telling you that your mind, your brain is tired. So what I ask you to do is to ask your mind and body. Mind, what do you want? Body, what do you want? And if your body and mind said, look, I really need to catch up on some sleep, go and do that. It's called kindfulness. And you'll find it works. You relax. And to relax the body is so important as a foundation for relaxing the mind. If your body is not relaxed, it's either falling asleep or it's hurting, it's tense, and it will not just disappear to allow you to get into the deep meditations. Your body needs to be relaxed and comfortable, which is why you've got cushions to sit on. You've got mats. If these mats are not enough, put another one up there. 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't care. Get some cushions from your room. Sit on a chair. Lean against the wall. Whatever you need to do so you get comfortable. And if you do that, you look after your body. You eat enough, not too much, not too little. Food which you like, we're trying to get, make sure it's, I think, we asked the cook to make sort of Asian food for you guys. What did you have this evening? What was it? Was it okay? Okay, hopefully it's okay, because otherwise, you know, you've got no choice. The only choice is take it or leave it. And I'm afraid you can't, there's no sort of hawkers just round the corner like there is in Singapore. You know, you can't just walk out of here and just go to the shops. They're about 30 kilometres away. So you're stuck. And if you ring up somebody for a takeaway pizza, they don't come out this far. So you've had it, all you've got. So you make sure you try and get comfort for the body. Once the body is comfortable, then you find it so easy to meditate. You know, it's much better to have just 1 hour of meditation a day than about 10, 12, 13 hours when you're really restless or you're really tired. You're just wasting time that way. So just rest enough. Be kind to your body. And when you sit down in either the chair or on the cushion, again, ask your body, you know, are you comfortable? Do you really have to sit on a cushion or on a chair? Get some nice soft cushions. Please look after your body, because you're going to be meditating here for many hours every day. That's the only thing we have to do here. So try and find a nice good position for you. Chairs are fine. That's why we have those chairs at the back there. They were specially designed for meditation. That's why we have the ones with the arms on it. So if you lean to the left or you lean to the right, that stops you falling off. If you ask Danny, we've got some seat belts which you can tie around if you keep nodding and afraid of falling off. And just, you know, you should be able to just sit on there, the average person, and your feet are comfortably on the ground. If the chairs are too high, you can put something underneath your feet to raise them up. The whole point is trying to make it comfortable for you. And the other thing, I'm not sure if Daniel asked you, this is really comfortable for me because I'm Ang Mo, but some of you come from Singapore and you might be cold. Please use those heaters if you're cold. You can bring all these blankets, you see these blankets which they have, and you can see where they came from. The SIA, first class blankets for you guys. So if you feel homesick, just take one of those. I'm back in Singapore. And there's many blankets in your rooms as well, so please look after your temperature. It's okay to, you know, use those heaters in your room. You've all found those heaters, I hope. So make use of them, but don't leave them on all day, you know, when you're meditating in here. Please conserve the planet. And so just look after yourselves. And when you're sitting down, when you have a healthy body, it's much easier to be able to observe the mental world, because your body isn't aching all the time and isn't causing you physical problems. So when you've dealt with the physical body, which is important, that's an important part of the meditation, then you can deal with your mental world. And with your mental world, please remember that you've come from Singapore, most of you. In Singapore, how far away is it? It's a long way away. So let it be a long way away. Don't send your mind back to Singapore. So just let it totally disappear. Your family, your business, everything else is totally okay. You don't have to worry about anything. So it's like you've left the world. You've left your husband. You've left your wife. You've left your business. Don't you deserve this time for yourself? How hard have you worked to try and get here? How have you organized your duties to get this time off? So it's very difficult to find 9 days of freedom. So now you are here. Please make sure that your mind stays in Janagro and doesn't go to Singapore. Be here. And the other thing is, forget about the past and where you've come from. And also, forget about all the future. You've got 9 days. 9 days is, what is it, 212 hours. That's, what is it, 212, that's 12,720 seconds. Or something like that. Not quite. 12,000 minutes, sorry. That's 720,000 seconds. You only need 1 second to get enlightened. So you've got a lot of chances to get enlightened, so take it easy. Because what will happen if you get enlightened tonight? You have nothing else to do for the rest of the week. So just take it easy and just be in the present moment. And that should be the first goal of your meditation, if you call it a goal. So just let all your past vanish. Let all your future disappear. Because as for the past, I often call the past a fantasy. Because when you look at what you've done or where you've come from, is that really what really happened? You ask any psychologist, they'll always tell you that what you think happened is not what happened. You've reconstructed the past, as we all do. And because of that, you can't trust your memories of the past. They're so uncertain, they're not worth thinking about. So every time the past comes up into your head, always tell yourself, this is uncertain. I don't know if this is what really happened. So that way you can totally let it go. And anyway, why do you want to concern yourself with the past? Not even what happened a few minutes ago. So if you want to be free, please free yourself from the prison of the past. The past is like a cell, but the prison door is always open. You can walk through and be free whenever you want. It's just a matter of having the courage to let it go and enjoying the freedom of just being here. And as for the future, as I keep on saying, now, this moment is the place your future is being made. This moment is the only time you can do anything for your future. So if you really are concerned about your future, put all your attention in the present moment right now. In life you have to plan things, but here you don't have to plan anything. For 9 days you've got no place to go, nothing to do. As far as the food is concerned, it just comes. You don't have to plan it, you don't have to order it, you don't have to think about it, it's just there for you. The place is all there for you. There's nothing you need to plan at all. So don't have all this routine and schedule what you need to do. That's why the schedule which was read out to you by I haven't actually seen the schedule myself. I've got hay fever, by the way. Not a cold. The schedule is only just a maybe schedule. The only thing you really have to worry about and make sure you get there on time is the breakfast at 7 o'clock and the lunch is at 11. And I guarantee you, you do not need to set an alarm clock or worry about it. At 7 o'clock, you will know it's breakfast time. At 11 o'clock, something will tell you for sure it's time to eat. You don't need to plan it. It happens quite naturally. So don't worry about it. Don't plan. Just let it happen. When you don't plan or worry about time, even my talks, you've heard everything I've said so many times because it's always recorded. And I figured out, we figured this out some time ago, all the talks which I've done on the internet, on YouTube and everywhere else, it's more talks than even the Buddha gave. You look at all the talks in the suttas, and I'm ahead of him now. And even the Buddha repeated himself. And I can't match the Buddha, so you know, you're going to get it the same again. So if you miss a talk, it doesn't matter, you've heard it before. And you can always get it from the tape anyway. So don't worry about having to come for the talk. It's just a bit of inspiration and encouragement, that's all. But it's basically the same thing. Look, let go of time. And it's a fascinating thing if you can focus on this present moment, just being here. If you really focus on this moment, all the desire and craving and anger vanish. To want something, to crave, you have to have the perception of the future. Some future where what you want to be and where you want to go can actually exist. If you just come into this moment, craving vanishes. If you let go of the past, all anger or guilt also vanishes. You have to have some memory of what happened to get angry and upset. So it's a very powerful way of very quickly getting rid of all of the worst of the defilements which stop people being peaceful and happy. Just being here. It's a training we do, keep on reminding ourselves. That's why you see in this room there are no clocks in this room. The only clock is I have. Where's it gone? It's disappeared. You see, time vanishes. So, please, don't worry about the time. Just how long you meditate for. Just sit down and meditate however long you feel comfortable. When the time is finished, you just get up. So you're not a prisoner of this time of thinking, I must meditate for 30 minutes or half an hour or 2 hours. Forget about all of that. For those of you who think that you need to meditate for a long time, to get into the deep meditations. No, that's not true. Ajahn Chah used to say, if that was the case, then all the chickens in the world would be in jhanas because they sit for many hours on their eggs. So people who sit for long periods of time, he called chicken meditators. It's not how long you sit, it's the quality of your meditation. That's more important than how long. So don't try and beat your record and worry about how long you're sitting and how other people are sitting. Just be here as best you possibly can. Now when you're sitting meditation, soon you get achy legs. So please alternate the sitting meditation with the walking meditation. We've got three halls here, which hopefully you've explored already, and we encourage walking meditation so much. You see in those rooms are red carpets, so those are red carpet walking meditation for you, specially designed so you can start at one end and walk comfortably to the other end, and then walk back again. The lovely thing about walking meditation is you end up where you started. You never get anywhere, which is brilliant. It's teaching you. The point of meditation is not getting somewhere or attaining something. It's learning how to be here, content with where you are and what you've got, so you don't want anything else. And that creates peace, which creates bliss, which creates jhanas, which creates enlightenment. So there you are, just walking backwards and forwards, just for the sake of walking, not trying to get anywhere or achieve anything. However, that people say, well, what am I supposed to do? And I say, just walk. When I'm meditating, what am I supposed to do? Just sit down and shut up. But. So those are the deepest teachings I've just given you. It's all you really need. However, people always want to do something. So, if you really are one of those people who like doing things, you can do the second class meditation, which is when you're meditating, you can watch your breath if you want. That's second class, that's not the best. The best class is not doing anything at all. So you're sitting down, you just watch your breath. Go in, go out, go in, go out, go in, go out. Is that boring? Spending the next 8 days watching your breath. Go in, go out, go in. You will find it's so difficult to do. Even those who have meditated for years find it difficult. Why? Number one, because you haven't prepared yourself properly. So preparation is really important. And I mentioned the preparation, have a relaxed body and keep the mind in the present moment. So make that most important first of all. And it's the same when you're doing walking meditation. Present moment awareness should be first of all. So when you're walking, you keep up this, what I call like a guard. It's part of mindfulness, but it has to be a kind guard. A guard which, if you see past thoughts or past memories coming up, it says no to them, it renounces, it restrains. Look, I'm not concerned about what happened in the past. It's gone, it's finished, it's a fantasy. And the other guard stops the future coming in. If you start planning about what you're going to do next, where you're going to go tomorrow, stop that. So there's two guards in the mind which very kindly say no to the past or the future. So when you're sitting meditation, set up those two guards at first. When you're walking meditation, set up those two guards. No past, no future, just being here. When there's no past and future going on in your head, then what's left? Sometimes what's left is all your fantasies and thoughts. That's the next thing to be aware of and to see if you can let go of. So you can meditate, walking, or sitting without a thought in the head. That's one of the reasons why people do the breath meditation, because it blocks out the thoughts. Sometimes the thoughts block out the breath. But if you're doing walking meditation, you're observing the feeling in your feet as you're walking, as you feel the sensation of the carpet against the soles of your feet. That's why I always encourage you to see if you can take off your socks when you're doing the walking meditation, so you can feel more of the sensations. And so as you are feeling these things, it blocks out many of the thoughts. For many meditators, that's the biggest obstacle, to try and stop the mind being obsessed with thinking. So the techniques to overcome that. First of all, see if you can, outside of the meditation, become aware of all the other senses. Such as when you're walking back to your room, feel the cold, it doesn't hurt you. Even go out and get wet, feel the rain on you. Feel the heat of the sun, it's going to be warm next week apparently. So you can feel the warmth. You know, when you are walking through the forest, listen to the sound. of the rain. That stops you thinking. So you listen to the sounds of nature, of the wind. Straight away, all those thoughts which keep up in your head finish for a little while. So during the daytime, when you are walking backwards and forwards, you know, to lunch or going to the toilet, having your shower, please listen very carefully and feel the sensations on your body as you're walking, because that will help slow down and stop the thinking mind. When you're eating your lunch or your breakfast, taste the food rather than thinking about it. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we try not to have chatting. Because when you talk, it's encouraging the thinking mind. So we call it noble silence, which means that during this retreat there's no need to talk to one another. Certainly not in here, not even at breakfast or lunch. Things should be going into your mouth, not out when you're eating. So, what happens when people staying in your cottage try and talk to you? If you tell them, shut up, you're not supposed to be talking, then you're talking as well. So what to do on this retreat, if someone is talking to you, don't be angry at them, don't shout at them, you just give them the one finger sign, which is so that's all you need to do, and it reminds them to be quiet. However, if there is some emergency, if there's a big bushfire, you don't think, oh, I should keep noble silence, I'm not going to say anything. No, say fire, fire. So the whole point of noble silence is actually for nobility, to sometimes speak when something needs to be said, but not to have conversations. If someone's looking around for the toilets, it's over there. In your rooms, if someone's looking for a heater, so it's just in the cupboard over there. That is fine, but don't go into a conversation about your life, or about Buddhism, or about anything. It's not the time for having conversations. And that's really important in your cottages, because now maybe two of you think that the cottage is a place outside of Jhana Grove where you can do whatever you like. There may not be CCTV cameras in those rooms, but there are some monks who know exactly what goes on. So, behave. And be quiet. Now when you are quiet with one another, it actually helps each other get into deeper meditation. It may feel a bit strange at first, but you soon get used to it. I used to have this little trick that keep noble silence for the first 8 days of the retreat. And the last day, I'd say, oh, you can speak now. And no one spoke. They didn't need to say anything. And in fact, they preferred being silent. I did that, see? You can speak, it's not against the rules anymore, but you don't want to. See how beautiful silence is? Because in silence you can feel more, you can know more. And it's much happier and more peaceful when you're not oppressing people with your words, try to tell them things. So, and if that doesn't work, if there are some people in your cottage who can't keep that silence, please tell either myself or Dania, because we do have in the storeroom, in the workshop, some masking tape. And I know that some terrorists and burglars, they do use that to keep the people they're kidnapping quiet. So it does work. And we will put a little hole in the masking tape with a straw. So for the 9 days, at least you can have something to eat and drink, so you won't die. But at least that will stop you from talking. 8 or 9 days. So please be quiet. It's a wonderful thing to do, and it helps your meditation. and to actually enjoy it much more. So please, to actually be friendly with one another. You can smile at each other. There's nothing wrong with smiling. And that's sometimes all you need to do to show your care and kindness to the people you know you're meditating with. And also, I must say, there are kettles in the room there, but be careful when you put those kettles on. If you start wanting to boil water at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, you're going to cause a lot of problems with the other people in your cottage. So now please try not to sort of make noises in the cottage, especially banging doors or banging other stuff. And the same when you come in here, because the schedule is very loose, you can come and meditate here any time. But I want you to practice what we call in meditation the burglar method. Because a burglar can come into your house without you knowing. They walk and open doors so silently, you don't know they're there. And they walk out without anyone hearing them. Otherwise, they get caught all the time. So whenever you come into this room, I want you to do burglar meditation. You open the door so quietly that no one knows you've come in. And you walk so silently and sit down so quietly that even the person next to you doesn't know you've come, nor do they know you've gone. When you open the doors of your cottage, it opens so quietly and closes so softly. Again, no one knows you've come. No one knows you've gone. That's called burglar. And if you practice that for 8 days in this meditation retreat, not only will you be a very good meditator, but you'll also have a career when you go back home. I shouldn't say things like that. But burglars can do that. They're not high-minded people. They're not sort of really intelligent and kind and good. So if they can do that, surely you can. So be kind to other people by being very soft as you come and go. And you will find that that enhances the meditation. Sometimes people say, oh, teach us how to watch the breath. Teach us how to do walking meditation. Teach us how to do loving kindness meditation. But you've got to get the foundation done first of all. And if you can't go in and out of your room without being quiet, if you're an elephant banging around in your cottage, bang, clang, just like an elephant, you're not mindful enough or careful enough to get into deep meditation. So that is an important training for every one of you during this retreat. If there are some noisy ones, please let me know and I'll change the cottages around and put all the noisy ones in the same cottage. So they can disturb themselves if they want. So try and keep it nice and quiet and peaceful. And, again, when you are meditating, be kind. Because remember, as I said, being still, putting the cup down, and letting it be still. And you'll find, surprisingly, that all the effort you put in trying to stop the mind, trying to watch the breath, or whatever else you're doing, it is counterproductive. It just stirs up the mind more. This is why that it's a very difficult thing to do, just to sit down and do nothing. I told you what not to do. Stop the past, stop the future, let go of thinking. And then everything happens just by itself. I should say more about stopping the thinking, because that's one of the most difficult things which people do in this meditation, to actually stop all this wandering thoughts all over the place. First of all, be kind to it, and just see if you can just be in the present moment, be kind. Be gentle, and a lot of times you'll find over the next few days there's basically nothing much to think about. But somebody told me a few days ago this simile It's in the Yaka Sanghita, and it was a simile about in the time of the Buddha, naughty boys would catch a crow, and they would tie a string to the crow's feet, and then let it go. And because they were holding on to the other end of the string, the crow would just fly around in circles. Very cruel thing to do, but that was fun. But the Buddha used that as a simile, saying, in this simile, your mind is like the crow, and the thoughts are the string. They stop the mind flying high. And instead you just go around in circles, round and round, never getting anywhere. It's a very wonderful simile because it takes away the importance you give to thoughts and thinking. Many of you have been thinking all your life, are you enlightened yet? Have you solved the problems there? Are you really happy yet? So the way to overcome thoughts, the best way is to take away its value. The thoughts, they promise to tell you the truth. They promise to lead you to solutions, but they don't. If any of you have got any problems to solve in life, haven't you noticed that if you can be silent, then the solutions come up when you're quiet? They arrive from stillness. Now the common experience of trying to remember somebody's name, and the more you try to think about it, the more difficult it is. But if you stop thinking about it, after a few minutes, the answer comes up. Surely that experience, which is common to so many people, is proving something. It's showing you that wisdom comes from silence. Solutions arise from stillness. And thinking actually prevents solutions from coming. It's just the string which keeps the mind going round in circles. So, see if you can take away the importance and value you give to thinking. If a thought comes, don't go and say, oh, this is going to get me somewhere. I'm going to understand about Buddhism and meditation through this thinking. It's going to lead to somewhere important. I'm going to sort out all my problems and difficulties with thinking. Look at thinking as not a way to find solutions, but something which prevents answers from arising. Look at your thinking as an impediment, not a help. Look at thinking which is something which is obstructing insight, not which is creating insight. If you take away the importance of thoughts, it's very easy to stop. They only carry on because you have the idea, the delusion, it's going to lead to somewhere interesting. And the other reason why we can't stop thinking is because we're not used to silence. We've forgotten silence, and so whenever silence comes up, we feel a little bit uncomfortable. When I first came here many years ago, it was so quiet, and when any visitors, especially young people, came, as soon as they came to monastery over the road, they would raise their voices. They'd speak louder than before. At first I thought that was really strange, until I realized the reason they were raising their voices, they wanted to destroy the silence, because they were uncomfortable in silence. They didn't know how to be in silence. So how do you be in silence? Easy, isn't it? You were just silent. You weren't thinking. Because when I do this little trick of pausing between my words, you never know when I'm going to start speaking again. It's a little trick which means that you're not thinking, you're waiting for me. And in those gaps, you are silent. I use this little trick so that people understand what the silent mind feels like. It's a space between thoughts. And it's so relaxing. So it's peaceful and happy that once you start to recognize it, you're no longer afraid of the silence. You respect it and value it so much, it starts to grow in you. So you're silent more and more and more. Why? Because you prefer the silence to all this thinking. So that little technique of recognizing the space between thoughts, the space between words, is one of the great keys to establishing more silence in your mind as a preparation to meditation. And a little technique which I developed, which helps you actually do something to stop the thinking, is use a little mantra. You can use any mantra you like. The two which I often speak about is the greeting which people often give each other in Indonesia if they're Buddhist. They say to each other, Namo Buddhaya, which means homage to the Buddha, which is useful because it has five syllables, Namo Buddhaya. So that when you want to try and get some silence in your mind, you sit down, close your eyes, or you may be doing walking meditation, and you recite to yourself, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, for about 1 minute. You recite it to yourself over and over and over again. It blocks out the thoughts. But if you keep on reciting that over and over and over again, you get bored and tired and fed up. So, after 1 minute of Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, you start to put some pauses between the syllables. Namo Buddhaya, Namo. So put some spaces between the syllables for maybe 1 minute. If you're still blocking out the thoughts, then lengthen the spaces a little bit. Na, mo, bu, da, ya. If thoughts come in, close the spaces down. So na, mo, bu, da, ya, to keep the thoughts out. And you can adjust the spaces, make them shorter, make them longer, depending how peaceful or agitated your mind is. And that way, you're adjusting the meditation to how peaceful or restless you are. And little by little, you find you can extend the spaces more and more until they're so long. Now, more. Well, you don't need any more words. You're silent. And that's a very helpful way, any time of the day or night, of developing the silence. If you don't like Namo Buddhaya, you can use the Tibetan Om Mani Padme Hum, or any other mantra you like, which is about 4 or 5 syllables or words. Saying them all together at first and then putting spaces between them. And lengthen the spaces until the spaces get so long you don't need the syllables anymore. Thoughts come up, close it up. And if that works for you, it's a wonderful way of getting some silence in the mind. And once you're in the present moment and silent, you are now mindful. You're aware. If you're talking about something, you're not aware of it. If you're in the present, if you're in the future or the past, of course you're not here, you're not aware. So the definition of mindfulness, the basic thing to develop in meditation, is being here and being silent. Feeling, experiencing, knowing what's happening rather than the description. There's a cartoonist in Melbourne called Lunig, and one of my favourite cartoons by this very perceptive cartoonist is of a family watching the TV in their house. And on the TV screen, this one must be a nature TV, a nature channel, because it's got a picture of a beautiful sunset on the TV. And then the other half of the cartoon is the window of their house, through which there is a real sunset. And it was a very perceptive cartoon, if anyone knows it, it's one of his famous ones. There was a family watching a sunset on TV when there was a real one happening just through the window of their house. That's the difference between thinking and experience. Thinking is just like watching the TV. Experience is watching the real thing. So we don't need the words to describe things. The description is not the thing. The name is not the person. Which is why, in silence, we know. Only in silence can there be any wisdom. All thoughts is just old stuff. It's not real. So this is how we learn how to be silent in the meditation. It will come quite naturally. There's a moment of awareness and silence, and tomorrow I'll talk to you about how to watch the breathing. So the mind can become very still and peaceful, and also happy. You will find in the meditation, the longer you stay here, the more you'll smile and be happy. You all look pretty miserable at the moment. Maybe because you're cold or you're tired, or I don't know what. I think it's probably because you're cold. There is a heater in the back there, you can put on the aircon. It's reverse cycle, it can warm the place up if you need to Singapore temperature. Okay, well, so, you know, halfway, midway between Singapore and Australia. So there is one in the back there, so you can use it later on. And this way that you can actually be peaceful, happy, and as you get more and more still, you'll be surprised at how much joy comes up in the meditation. Just being in the present moment and silent, because you're not doing anything, because you're not wasting energy, you'll find the energy goes into your mind and becomes a happy mind, you're energized. How many people, when you first get up in the morning, have to have a cup of coffee? How many people have a cup of coffee in the morning? And how many people you're not really worth speaking to before you've had your cup of coffee? You're always grumpy. Why is it that people are happier after they've had a cup of coffee? Just because they've got energy. When you are dull, tired, sick, you've got no energy, so it's very hard to be happy. So if you give yourself a boost of energy, you find it's easy to be happy. But that's unnatural unnatural energy, coffee. But if you get calm meditation, you'll find that because you're not wasting energy, you have all this energy inside of you, and it turns into happiness in meditation. So if you follow this path, you will find after a few days you're actually happy here. There's a joy comes up in the meditation, which means you're having fun being here. So much so that, because you come here today, a lot of the retreatants who were here for the Rains retreat have gone home. And they're so sad. They have to go home now. They're very happy being here. And some of them were telling me just how much joy they've had here, more than ever before in their life. Quite a few people told me that. Why? It's not the place. What it is just the peace and the silence create the joy and happiness. So that is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get happier and happier and happier. And when it does occur, please don't be afraid of it. But if you really get miserable during this retreat and you have the bad times, I'll give a talk later on about how to deal with the times when you feel really bad, meditation's not working, you don't know what you're doing here and there's so many more days to go. That's why we have my co-teacher, probably the senior teacher, Ajahn Teddy Bear. If ever you get really fed up, you can borrow Ajahn Teddy Bear. And as you meditate, you do teddy bear posture. And you meditate, it's very soft and very nice. You meditate with teddy bear, and I guarantee your meditation will be much, much deeper. At a retreat I gave last year in Hong Kong, we had 3 teddy bears. And they were never sitting down next to me, they were always bothered. There was a whole waiting list of people, it's my turn next. Because it does give you that kindness back, this kindfulness. So if anyone wants to meditate with teddy bear, please try it, and you'll find it really does work. You get much more peaceful. There we go. Okay, so that's just a little talk just to get started. I'll be here again tomorrow morning to give the talk, 8 o'clock, and then after that any interviews, if people want interviews, and in the evening the Q&A. Any real questions and answers, and those who've been on my retreats before, you put the questions on pieces of paper any time during the day and I ask them in the evening. So, but because this is the first night, is there anything which I haven't sort of talked about which I need to sort of say? Any questions from the floor? Any questions? No. Okay, so we can finish off now. You can go and into your blankets and have a nice warm